These guys were at the stadium. That was at the stadium when they called in the coming in hotline.
It was a weird feeling all the way around at that stadium. People were very uneasy early on. Obviously, the team didn't give you a ton of reasons to cheer. And then there were so many Dallas Cowboy fans. I was a little surprised. We always know. I mean, the Cowboys, they're the team. They have fans in every town. I get it. Bandwagon fans like Mitch Spinell, who's on the show.
How was that for you? Zeke Elliott scored a touchdown.
Yeah, I didn't feel good about any of that yesterday.
You sure? Or are you just saying that for lip service?
Seemed devastated.
I mean, I feel for you guys, just, and I feel for myself.
I don't need your pity.
Now we're getting pity.
I don't need your pity.
Not pitying you guys.
You just said you feel for us. That's pity.
I feel for you just because I'm an emotional person.
I don't want you to feel for me. I don't want you to feel for me. In fact, I'd like to talk enough trash to you that you actually hate my guts and get mad at me, so then I can get mad at you, and then we can really get going here. That's what I kind of want.
Yeah, let's do it.
That's what I kind of want, because it's actually, you know, now I am actually pretty upset about this whole ordeal. I didn't think I was, but now I am. And I know that some of this is I'm going to take it out on Mitch. I apologize before we even do this, because I'm mad at the Browns, really. That's who I'm really mad at. But I'm mad at Mitch, because there are hardcore fans out there that really care about this football team, that care about their history, and certainly care about their future. And then you got you, who just picks and chooses when to drop in whenever. That's the problem I have.
I mean, I think it's
going well for me. You 26-year-old manlet.
Actually, I'm 27. I just turned 27 the other day.
Happy birthday. I'm glad Zeke Elliott got the end zone for you.
This is why I didn't tell you guys.
Why? You didn't think we would get you a cameo from Zeke Elliott or Mike McCarthy or Jimmy Johnson?
Ooh, that'd be nice.
Or Jerry Jones or Stephen Jones. Would you like that?
I wouldn't take a cameo from Stephen
Jones. Or CeeDee Lamb or Micah Parsons or DeMarcus Lawrence or anybody else who spent time in our backfield yesterday. Is that something you would like, Mitch?
I would have preferred Roger Staubach back, but that's okay.
Roger the Dodger. Get Roger the Dodger.
Brad Sham.
Get him in there. Brad Sham. He'll do it. What's Golden Richards doing right now? Where's sweet Gene Vincent when you need him? All right, I'm taking it out on you, and I'm sorry. We're moving on. 216-474-0092. I've had a plethora of people get in. Ken, it's on more than Watson. Damn it, I know it's on more than Watson. For the love of God, I know it's on more than Watson. But you understand here, you really understand, is that this thing ain't going to go anywhere. They played like garbage. They played like a team that just met each other. There was no cohesion. The defensive performance was trash. The offensive performance, it looked like a bunch of how to do, how to nice to meet you. They had no idea who each other's were. It looked like it was a singles meetup, for crying out loud. And they got boat raced by the Dallas Cowboys in front of God, Tom Brady, and everybody. More on Tom Brady coming up at 7:20. I mean, they got hammered by everybody. I understand all that. Guys, that is not lost on me. And I know I'm tough talking over here, but damn it, I told you last week I wasn't going to make an excuse, and I'm not going to sit there and make excuses. So the R word ain't going to come out of my mouth. Because you know what I saw yesterday? One, the R word. What I saw yesterday was somebody who was scared, who was running for his life, and at times didn't need to. Excuse me, a lot of times didn't need to go running for his life. Didn't need to take off. Could have stood in there and delivered, but was nervous. How is he nervous? Because you could see it right there in front of yourself. Don't take your own intelligence lightly. Because you want to maybe talk yourself out of it, fine. I hope you're able to, because I can't. I don't want to sit here and act like it's DEFCON 1 because it's one game, but it's been 3 years. And what I saw yesterday was a quarterback that, while he can say in any press conference he wants to or any social media video that he's confident in himself and mention his name in the third person all he wants, I saw something different. I saw a guy who was nervous from opening kickoff to the very end, to the point where he was looking for answers and they just weren't there. At one point, they showed him on the sideline and people were mad about how he looked on the sideline. I saw a guy who was bewildered, thinking, I'm never going to get this back.
Well, okay,
whatever it was,
here's what I do want
it
to
ask, ain't coming back.
Because we're talking, both of us, in a broad sense, a macro level.
Of course.
Because it's year three and all this. I mean, the guy did have pretty substantial surgery last year. And I know no fans want to hear that in year three.
I don't want to hear it either.
But that is a reality. Like, when you watch the New York Jets and Aaron Rodgers, they play tonight, right? When you watch them, people are going to be looking to see how he moves after having the surgery that he had. I think it stands to reason that there's probably a chance Deshaun Watson didn't really know what that what that reconstruction, whatever was going on with his arm, his shoulder, what that was going to look like. And that was the first chance. I mean, you can say, hey, I made all the throws in training camp. He didn't play in any preseason games. Never had a guy, you know, barreling down on him. Like, this was going to be an opportunity to finally test it, and this was the first chance. In game speed, it stands to reason that he didn't know.
But
you can act with all sorts of bravado and confidence, and you can have all the people around you trying to hype you up. And maybe that's exactly what that was from Quincy Avery this week, from Ken Dorsey, from the team, from the organization. Everybody was hyping you up. The players were all like, he's back. He is no limitations whatsoever. How could they know?
There was
no way they could possibly know that.
Let me turn around on you. Do they feel like he might be lacking confidence? And is that why they had to say those things?
Maybe.
And had to be so public and so outward with it. Now, how great he looks coming back when none of us saw really anything. He didn't play in any preseason games. And we've beat that dead horse a million times over. There's flies coming off the thing. We went crazy over that, but they went down to West Virginia. Well, there was really no video of him in West Virginia. There was really no video of him in training camp. There was really only highlights that were put out by the team. And heck, half the highlights that they put out on the team, there were plenty of people lining up going, hey, that's a sack in real life. This is a sack in real life. So, by the way, none of this absolves the offensive line. The offensive line was slop yesterday. Absolute slop. And yeah, I am worried about Andy Dickerson. I'll tell you that right damn now. But when it comes down to the quarterback, it's just as simple as they're only going to go as far as the way he can take him. And right now, he can't carry him at all.
No. And you know, to add to this, and this is where it's going to be really hard. This is like chicken or egg stuff. So good luck. I mean, you can, when the All-22 finally comes down and people stop lying about when the All-22 comes down to make a point.
Call of the day.
That was the call of the day. I love the confidence, by the way, of that caller. Who just moved on when you called him out.
That's the way you got to talk about it. That's the way you got to be.
But it is hard with Deshaun Watson, and we've had Greco, we've had Joe Thomas, we have everybody's told us the same thing. It's really hard to discern whether or not it's the offensive line or it's Deshaun when he plays, because he always takes sacks, always. Even with the great line last year, and there was a difference when Flacco came in and got rid of the football as designed, wasn't getting sacked at the level that Deshaun Watson gets sacked at. And so, yeah, to the naked eye, I mean, the offensive line had their struggles yesterday. You expected that against that front, and especially against Micah Parsons and what he does well. But also, Deshaun Watson caused a few of those sacks yesterday.
Are there any excuses? 216-474-0092. I will offer not a single one. I'm going to be a man of my word. Jim and Perry, you're first up on the Fan. Hello.
Good morning, guys.
Morning, Jim.
So, yesterday I went in there with an open mind watching the game. I kind of had an unsettling feeling all morning for whatever reason. And I start watching it, and I think there's two things that I saw. One, the offense caused, I would say, offense and special teams caused 14 of the Dallas 31, or however many. I didn't finish the game. The interceptions and the punt return, obviously. The defense came in there and, you know, first drive, got them all fired up and out. The only thing that I'm worried about, other than Deshaun Watson not being our quarterback, because he's done. I'm glad you said it about 5 minutes ago. You saw that look on the sideline. I think he knows that he's done. And just this failed experiment, it's kind of soul-sucking.
It's not an experiment. I mean, it's a full-on buy-in, an investment. It's just right now it's a bad investment. It's not an experiment.
But the one thing I'm worried about from this point on is if he comes out and keeps playing like this, maybe gets a little bit better each game. Maybe he doesn't. But what is that going to do for the offense?
If he plays better?
No. What I'm saying is if he continues this level of play and his receivers, running backs, linemen start losing more and more confidence in him,
then you're going to have to be forced to make a change.
Okay, that's
a player. If he plays anywhere near as bad as he did yesterday, in the subsequent weeks, we have to have that conversation. We have to have that. We have to have that talk. And on the outset of the season, I didn't believe it would ever be a conversation, but we have to have that conversation with each other. And maybe it's shouting into the wind. It might be because of the investment that they've made in him. But if he's anywhere close to this, I can't believe that he would be close to this, but I haven't seen next week. Who knows? Maybe it's a big unveiling of wait until you see what I got next. But if he plays anywhere near to this over the coming weeks, the conversation is going to get louder because you have to save the team from himself. That's what you're going to have to do because it's not just a skill thing here, guys. It's not that. What you saw was a complete lack of self-confidence out there on the field. Confidence in himself, confidence in his teammates. And eventually, yes, as Jim says, and I disagree a lot with a lot of Jim's calls, that will start to come back on him with his teammates that he's playing with. Did you hear Tom Brady at all yesterday?
So I didn't. That was one of the unfortunate circumstances of being at the game is you just didn't really have they had the feeds and everything, but you know, you were paying attention to the game and listening to the radio feed.
It was not good.
Yeah, people say it was terrible.
I'm trying to be nice about it. It was really not good. He got a little bit more comfortable as time went on, and it was still not good. He sounded like a guy who didn't have all the information, and I think that part of the reason. Let's play some of this Tom Brady here. I want you guys to hear.
Remember, Miles had the big strip sack. Yeah.
Let's see whether or not I was thinking this while I was watching the game. I want to see whether or not I'm right. Let's hear you guys have it. This is from Fox.
Ball is out. Is recovered by Dallas.
It's a big man he's going against in Tyler Guyton, but just too much power. He's got a great burst off the line of scrimmage. Just rips through, and that's why he's reigning defensive player of the year. And fortunate for Dallas to just be a loss of four. Still another sack.
Well, that was one of the snippets of just he looked a little unsure of what he wanted to say, or sounded a little unsure of what he wanted to say, seemed a little bit uncomfortable. I think a lot of people thought, well, he's just going to spout off about football, because there was the whole conversation about him being a part of ownership with the Las Vegas Raiders and that it would take away because he's not allowed in any of these production meetings. So he's not allowed to do that. Well, this is the first game of the season, so you can watch as much tape as you want to from last year, except Mike Zimmer is a new defensive coordinator. And so you have different pieces. You could go, well, I know a Mike Zimmer defense. Yes, and in week four, if it looks like a typical Mike Zimmer defense, you can say that. But in week one, you don't know what he's necessarily going to have with his new players. The same thing with Kevin Stefanski and Ken Dorsey and the Cleveland Browns. Plus, it's been 10 months since the quarterback played. So there's so many things that you can try to say, and he could say it, except I think he feels a responsibility to say the right things and to know the right things. And I think that he was a little bit in his head of, can I say? What can I say? What's not going to make me look like an idiot?
I mean, I can hear. He's overthinking there, and just in the rules, and we're not on network TV in front of, you know, how many millions were watching that game yesterday. But I could tell you, and Kenny, you've been in the same situation. We've been paired up with a bunch of guys over the years that have played the game of football or any of the sports. And it's like, hey, we've had bosses over time. Hey, why don't you, can you do this? Can you do a 15-minute this? Or can you, somebody's going to be in studio and they're looking at maybe a media career down the road. And I always will just tell these guys.
Rodney McLeod's with us tomorrow at 9 in studio for an hour.
I always tell them, forget about cameras or forget about anybody listening. It's just me and you. We're talking football. Like that's what we're doing in the purest sense. Talk to me like we were in the locker room right after a game or whatever. Just talk to me. Talk to me about what you're seeing or what you did see. And what happens is that what you just heard is the antithesis of that. He is thinking about 1,000 other things. He's not just talking football. What Tony Romo did when he came in, people remember that he was picking all the plays, whatever, and a lot of that's worn off. But Tony Romo was not talking to America. He was just talking to Jim Nance. Hey, here's what I saw there. Well, Tom Brady's got to get out of his head and forget about trying to have this identity of a broadcaster and just talk to like you would a teammate, because that's what they paid him to do. That's what they want him to do.
Do you think he was underprepared?
No, not underprepared at all.
I think he thought he was underprepared.
I think he was probably overprepared.
I think Tom Brady, from every sense that I get, like Gerard knows him very well, and there's a couple people who this is a weird thing to say. So with the Infinity Network that used to be CBS Sports Radio, there were a couple of people who've reached out from different places who know him. And doing the fact-checking, it's all true. And he seems like a very down-to-earth, like everything you know about Peyton Manning and everything you know about Tom Brady, they always say it's the reverse. Like, we've had Bob Myers on the show who's done the book of both of these guys, and he goes, Peyton Manning is, he comes off like he's everybody's next-door neighbor, but it's so hard to get a hold of him. He is behind like eight different things, and you would think Tom Brady would be that guy. And maybe he's become a little bit more like that since, you know, the divorce and everything. But everybody's like, no, he's as down to earth as it gets. He's the guy who's the next door neighbor. And I think that he wants to make sure he's prepared so he doesn't say anything stupid that he has to come back from and explain himself out of. I think that he takes it very seriously. And I think he took this very seriously. And I think that he wanted to do a good job. He might not have the tools to do a good job, and maybe he's freaking out about it. He did not come out well yesterday.
I think that is a nearly impossible stage, with the expectations were extremely high, especially Romo came in, and even though it didn't sound like any other analyst before, which is why people liked him so much, the expectations were not there for Tony Romo the way they are right now for Tom Brady.
Yes.
And you asked about preparation. I bet you he had notes on every guy. And I think it becomes paralysis by overanalysis.
Maybe.
And plus,
maybe
he had never worked with Kevin Burkhardt. So
they had dummy broadcasts, like whatever.
But that's nowhere. No way is that going to get you, especially with the noise and the people all around. And then he's working with that production crew, and he's having people talk to him in his ear, and he's sitting there with a telestrator in front of him. Guys make this look so easy now because they've been doing it. Even guys that you don't think very highly of that have been doing this for years. Like somebody like, by the way, Charles Davis has done this for years. He's nondescript. The average person off the street is not like Charles Davis. Charles Davis makes it sound so easy because he's been doing it for 20 plus years. Tom Brady,
I thought he was great in the Bengals game yesterday.
Was he? Yeah. So Tom Brady, I guarantee you, will be 1,000 times better in game two.
I certainly hope so.
Because he'll know this. He'll immediately get rid of, out of his mind, so much stuff that he doesn't need for the broadcast.
He's coachable, and I think you're right about that. But I thought with his personality, he'd be able to, I wish there was a better term for it, dumb it down for all of us and be able to explain things and make things fun. And it wasn't fun. And my theory is that he's definitely, I think, a little bit overprepared on it. I don't think he was underprepared. And I think that he was a little unsure what he could and could not say. I think that a lot of people around him have made a very big deal about it. Also, I don't know. I'm not going to sit there and blame the production. I don't know what type of director he has or anything. I can't imagine the director screaming or anything like that. Lima has experience with this. I have very little experience with this. I had one time I did a game. This is obviously years ago because I haven't done play-by-play in a long time. I had a game where the guy was very calm, and that was the second game I did. The first game, the guy was... I mean, some of these guys treat you like a dog. And he was screaming. And it was so jarring. It was so jarring. And I was like, you need to stop. You really need to stop this. I was in no position to tell this director any of this stuff, but I had to because I was like, I'm going to freak out. I'm not going to be able to do this. You have to be calmer.
You probably don't get to direct the game of the week by being a maniac.
Yes, right. That's true.
Right. These are the guys.
Game of the week, Tom!
These guys are at the top of their game, and I wonder how nervous they were, because this is their world. But Tom Brady was going to be a story yesterday, and you will see when you watch everything today, when you consume. Although a lot of Browns fans probably won't want to, but if you consume a lot of national stuff, it's going to be Tom Brady front and center. And based on what I saw yesterday on social media, it's not going to go well for him over the next 24 hours.
I will say, though, it was a Fox crew. And Fox has rubbed me the wrong way over the last year. Because when Gerard and I go in there to do, like, game day, we go to the cardiac club when it's home. And we got shushed on our way in. And Lima, I'm not kidding you, we said nothing. We had said hello to each other, like in the doorway, and that's it. We did not say a word.
Wait, who is doing the shushing?
I believe a director. And he shushed us. This is more of a fix my life, but I got to say it. I cannot tell you the rage that went through my eyes. And I looked down, and it was 8:40. And I go, if these guys are still having a meeting here, it is going to be over the top. And they were still having a meeting. And 9 o'clock came in, and they gave me the countdown, and it was, I'm going to bring the mic away because it was, from the Lakeshore at Cleveland Browns Stadium, we welcome you to Week 9 of the, I mean, it was Vince McMahon welcoming people to WrestleMania, and I just stared at that guy as he glared at me when I did the open. It was as over the top as I possibly could make. I told Meredith, I go, I'm going to be as over the top as I possibly can. So you better make sure you have this right. I'm this mad at this guy.
I also,
we glared at each other.
No way, not you.
Yes.
That would have been great. I'm sure they were loving that.
We glared at each other while I did it.
I would love to know how much Michael Buffer got paid. We're nervous to even... Owen just looked at me. Don't say Michael Buffer. Don't say it.
I have a wife and kids. I need to feed family.
So I don't even want to say it.
So yeah, Michael Buffer did his signature call yesterday. And people could not believe it because you just don't see a lot of Michael Buffer these days. I know he's still
especially
done.
Not in the wild.
Yeah, and for him to be there for the open. And before kickoff, I mean, they had people in a frenzy. MGK was down there. They had some kid on the guitar
did the anthem.
Let me guess. Does he have a million TikTok followers? Oh, there was that,
the young man who does the guitar.
Was it Max something Maxton, or Mac?
Something. I forget his name. Okay, he's very good.
He was great. And then they had their Dog Pound captain. Was it the Black Keys?
The Black Keys.
Yeah.
I always get them and the White Stripes mixed up.
Nope.
The Black Keys.
It's the Black Keys, the not Black the White Keys. Stripes.
They both have two people.
Yeah. Each other.
And then they
I thought they're divorced now.
They are. They said they were.
Oh, were. I'm sorry. I didn't hear the word part.
Okay, they also showed Bernie. The place absolutely lost it when they showed Bernie Kosar right before kickoff. Because remember, JW came on last week and told us there was going to be a rock theme?
Yeah.
Or something.
He said it would be rockin'.
Oh, rockin'. So it paid off. That place was in a frenzy. Even I think the Cowboy fans were like, you guys put on a show, so they've come a long way. I know nobody cares about that when they get their asses kicked. I get that. I just want to go out of my way to say, if you were in the stadium and people were there by kickoff, they had the Ohio State marching band come out for the start of that, so they put on the halftime show too. It was a pretty good show, except for the football.
Missing G.E. Smith. They would have had it all.
Maybe that was the difference.
Well, the game kind of reminded me of the old Browns, so maybe G.E. Yeah. Smith would have been okay. Maybe that would have worked out okay. God, what a terrible day. Mike in Cleveland, make my day better. Hello.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Glad to have you.
Hey, so I just want to point out, maybe it's just the Browns organization in general is just bad. I mean, from 99, if you look, the amount of starting quarterbacks, I think it's what, up to 36? I mean, that's a joke. You have an owner that is picking a quarterback. I don't know how true this is, but courtesy of a homeless man telling him who to pick, like, come on. And then giving this guy $265 million guaranteed, like guaranteed. That's terrible. Terrible. Like there has to be some accountability. What's your guys' thoughts?
I mean, you could say that on Thanksgiving. You could say that on Christmas. You could say that at any time. You are having, Mike, thank you for the call, an existential crisis that hopefully will be remedied by next week against the Jacksonville Jaguars. But, I mean, you're talking about an entire history of, for the most part, inept Browns football there. I don't want to go that far into it. But you know what, Mike? We'll figure out how they play against the Jacksonville Jaguars next week, and then maybe I'll agree with you wholeheartedly. Yes.
I'm watching. They just showed a replay of that Micah Parsons sack, and Deshaun Watson
he went
is
through three guys to get there.
Just not unloading the football. I'm just sitting here in my mind. I knew what was going to happen on the play. I remember the play vividly, and the receivers are looking at him, and it's like, just throw the football. Throw it. Throw it right here. Throw it. And he does it. And he does it. He clutches. That, Kenny, you talked about the mindset of a confident quarterback.
I did.
That is a guy you talk about, like, the sensing, feeling, seeing ghost thing. That is a case right there not being confident in your process.
Well, I have plenty of experience watching that. I've seen so many guys in that uniform play without confidence in that position. I mean, going back to what Mike had just said on the phone, I've seen so many of these guys play that position lacking confidence in themselves or anybody else they're playing with. And that's what scared me the most. Nobody, and also nobody was surprised by yesterday. Who was surprised? I don't think anybody who had any closeness, I know what Ken Dorsey had said last week, and you immediately called it out, goes, I don't know if he's really telling altogether. I think he's hoping instead of telling the truth here. Anybody who had any experience whatsoever, was any of you folks surprised? Anybody on hold? Anybody listening? Was anybody surprised? Nobody was surprised. Not a single person. I don't think Deshaun Watson was surprised. And that's my problem, is nobody was surprised by it, and he looks like he's searching for something that isn't even there anymore. Instead of possibly becoming the quarterback that we need him to be, is he going back to try to play a brand of football that he's no longer capable of playing? I don't know the answer to that yet. It's only been one game, but it don't look good.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
All right, so on Friday, we gave you the market report on how insanely expensive the tickets were to the Dallas Cowboys game, and it came down. It went down, like, obviously, as it normally does before kickoff. But you wondered, you know, were they a lot of fans hoping to get big money from Cowboy fans? Because there were a ton of Cowboy fans in attendance. And then you lose a game like you did. Everybody watched it. Everybody's going to be down on the Browns, and the overreactions are going to be there as well after one game. And one of the bigger overreactions I might have heard, oh, and you say you're wondering about whether or not you should sell your future tickets?
Yes, well, here's the rub, right? New couldn't get into the opener, right? It's not feasible for me. The rub is I got Giants tickets. I kind of got them for free. Do I sell them and take the profits on it?
Mm-hmm. I first of all, after the way the Giants played,
if they're going to do that again, twofold. Why do I want to go to the game?
It's twofold.
Other than to hear the boos in person.
My first thought is, no, come on. It's been one game. No. That's my first reaction, is to tell you no. But, this is the but. Like, they could go down to Jacksonville next week and win. And then be 1-1, and the defense could look better. I don't know if the defense is going to look totally fixed, but the defense could look better.
For a week.
Well, no. This is the issue, though. I don't have any thought that the Giants are ever going to be competitive this year at all.
Right.
So,
especially not after what I saw yesterday.
Your question is, do you go to see a game that you really strongly believe you're going to win? Like, people are like, there's no Clayton Tune on this schedule. Yeah, but there's a Daniel Jones, and that's still pretty close. Do you go to a game that you really strongly believe they're going to win? Or do you just go, you know what, if a Giants fan wants to go or some other Browns fan wants to go, I just take the cash.
Yeah, I mean,
and then move
you're
on.
Not going to get rich selling Giants tickets.
So I wish I could tell you what to do. Like, you're not going to make a considerable profit on those tickets then, Owen. So I think maybe you just go.
I'll let you know right now. Whatever you tell me to do, that's what I'm doing.
I'd say go. Oh,
then
come go. On.
Then if I'm telling you what to do, I'm telling you to go.
And
over.
I think, right, I think they have beat, like, I went out
How
of
many
my way.
I can't make any money. I got four tickets.
The four less Giants fans.
Listen,
there were too many Cowboys fans there yesterday.
September 22nd, you're likely to get beautiful weather. These September games,
yes.
The sun, it is a glorious, a glory. It's very different from December.
You're going to really miss it when they, you know.
You're right. You're not going to get that tan the same way. But they have beefed up their game day operations. It's a lot more fun going to the games now than maybe even, you know, 7-10 years ago. And, you know, the season's not over. Come on, Owen. They lost one game. You know, Stefanski in 2020, his very first game, they got blown out.
Through that, if I have to set through that performance that they just had,
what, you don't think so? So let me give you this. Nobody wants to hear this today. I know we got full lines, and people are already recording our phone calls and putting it out there on social media.
Ben Axelrod, awful announcing. No. Thank you. Good God.
Is there any chance no one's going to want to hear this? I don't think Kevin Stefanski is going to want to hear this. Is there any chance that that was their preseason game?
Oh, jeez. No excuse radio. But, and this is what
it looked like a preseason game.
So that's what I mean.
Oh, God. What a terrible excuse.
Between the two. And Dallas had 11 penalties. Dak Prescott underthrew about five balls that could have been a lot bigger plays.
Yeah,
he could have played
true.
A lot better. Is there any way that was their getting out of their system? Because that's in 2020, that's what happened with Stefanski. That's the Baltimore Ravens game.
Oh, that's right. Didn't they lose like 31-7?
They got crushed.
We got killed that
That was
game.
Just as bad, if not worse, than this game.
Okay.
And they made the playoffs that year.
No excuses. There's no excuse to lose like that yesterday. So I'm going to hope that that's the way they took it. I hope that we come in next Monday and you call it a preseason game. Yesterday a preseason game, not the Jacksonville game coming up. The season's got to start at some point. Like, you laid that foundation last week. You laid that. You said, well, you know, they really haven't played together, and I kept going, no. I said I wasn't going to make an excuse, I'm not going to make an excuse. You kept saying it, and I didn't want to hear it. And I think it did creep into people's minds during this time. Because, I think there were a lot of Browns fans who sold their tickets on the secondary market to Cowboys fans. There were way too many damn Cowboys jerseys in there. I would say, well, if you want to put a percentage on it, I'd say 28-30% of fans were Cowboys fans. I was not thrilled.
And you know what? It felt like more, probably because they were the team, they were the fans that had something to cheer about.
Yeah.
I mean, at one point, I mean, people were telling me, oh, it was 60-40, and I'm like, well, 60-40.
That was probably who's left in the stadium.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Because about the fourth quarter, it really started
to empty out. I didn't take that into account. And when I go to Guardians games and the Yankees are in town, I hate the upstate Yankees fans. I don't know if I want to let the upstate Giants fans into the building.
Yeah, don't let them out. But honestly, you guys got to a serious football point there about the preseason. And about, like, because you mentioned that last week, Anthony, like, you wanted to, and I wouldn't let you off the spot going, no, you have to start the season this week. But I did think it got a lot of people. That's why nobody was surprised. I'm hearing a little bit of vitriol. I'm hearing a little bit of anger. But really what I'm hearing is a lot of sad acceptance, because I think a lot of people expected this yesterday. I really do, man. I think a lot of people expected it to not. Like, even the excuse makers are like, well, he never starts off well anyway, so fine. You know, no big deal. And I'm like, no, you can't. I can't keep sitting there and make excuses for professional football players.
But I guess I'd ask the question.
You have to be able to call it down the line now.
Why? And forget about the fact that they terrorized our offensive line, that they were in Deshaun's face the entire game.
Yeah, they weren't good either.
But just forget about all that for a second.
The defense wasn't good either. It was a total team terrible performance.
It was. Why would anybody think that Watson would have this great chemistry with, like, Jerry Judy? They didn't practice together, guys. They
did throw a touchdown pass to Jerry Jeudy.
That was nice. Why would you think that was going to come out rocking? Like, just because they said? Guys, teams everywhere say a lot of things.
It's been 2 years before this. They traded for Jeudy. Like, I think that's another thing. It's like, there's nowhere to go here. That's why, like, people are like, well, Ken. No. There's no more R word. They traded for three wide receivers for the guy. They traded for three wide receivers for the guy. You got rid of Alex Van Pelt. You're telling me that he was perfectly hunky-dory with Alex Van Pelt, and that's why they got rid of Alex Van Pelt. They got rid of him. They brought it, which, by the way, Alex Van Pelt, did you see what New England did to Cincinnati?
Yeah.
Anyway, you bring in Ken Dorsey. Why'd you bring in Ken Dorsey? The history he has with bigger mobile quarterbacks. Like, that's, and Deshaun Watson is a guy who gets out there, and he's a big dude. So you have all these for him. Like, there's nowhere to go. There's no more understanding that I can find out of it.
But for everybody getting annoyed that I even bring up, hey, was that a throwaway game? It was against an NFC team. It's not going to kill you.
They're annoyed with you, I'm sure, for that.
You can be annoyed with me all you want, but you better be praying that I'm right. Because if I'm wrong, then this season is so doomed.
Oh, yeah, I pray that you're right. I really pray that you're right.